Would you open your Bible to Psalm chapter 28, Psalm 28 this morning. Middle of your Bible in the book of Psalms, Psalm 28. I like how Eric asks when he's doing the memory verse, does anything jump out at you? Something in the middle of this verse jumped out at me and I have enjoyed it. So I'm going to preach it. Psalm chapter 28 in verse 7. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the fruits of faith. When we just believe God over everything else. When you're finding Psalm 28 verse 7, let me say this. To most people, faith is tiny and is powerless in their lives. It's something people try to have, but it doesn't seem to do them any good. At least they don't think it does. So, instead of living a life of faith, walking by faith, they instead live a life of fear. From morning until sunset, until midnight, they're piled upon worries. They carry, you know, if you're afraid of something or if things you're worried about and you take on the cares of the world, if you don't get those things resolved, they turn into frustrations. And then frustrations turn into disappointments. And in the end, people become hard and angry about life. That's how they live. Now, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I don't think God designed us to live with those things, experience those things. You're going to experience them, but you shouldn't live in them. So I ask you a question. Do you live with panic? Or do you have praise? Look at Psalm 28 verse 7. It says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Next phrase, underline this part of the verse. This is the best part. "My heart trusted in Him and I am helped." You see that? My heart trusted in Him and I got the benefit. I got helped. Therefore, my heart greatly, what's the next word? Rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise Him. Alright, so evidently verse 7 tells you, you don't have to live that way and end up in panic. But you can praise God. You can actually live a life of faith. You see, if you've ever been overwhelmed by fear and worry, I want you to imagine what it would be like to be instead overwhelmed by praise and rejoicing. And we're talking about a fruit that when you just believe God, you see things different in your life. Instead of getting angry, you believe God. Instead of giving up, you believe God. Instead of worrying and panicking, tell me, what do? You believe God. My heart trusted in God. I got to find my verse. And I am helped. Father, I pray that You would help us this morning to learn how to trust You and learn why to trust You and to challenge our hearts with our unbelief. Because if there's any one sin that damns a people, it's not drinking, as bad as that is. It's not drugs. It's not the sin of anger. It's not the sin of wrath. It's not the sin of murder. The sin that damns every generation is the sin of unbelief. People just don't trust You. I pray, God, that You would fix that this morning. Whether somebody's unsaved or saved, born again or lost as the chair they're sitting in, every one of us needs to trust in the Lord. There is help in that faith. There's help, God, when we learn to live differently, walk differently, see differently. I pray that You teach us how to do it by faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but we are told not to worry. You're in Psalms. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 7. Go to the right. Psalm. Find Psalm 37 and verse 7. The Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Well, that's an old word. I hear it every once in a while, but fret, what does that mean? Worry, panic. What did you say, Brother Dennis? Okay, it says fret not, which means don't be fearful. Excellent. So he says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Don't get upset and worry because somebody else is going ahead and you're not. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, I get very discouraged watching the number of kids. The next generation who are on purpose making their life so wicked that they will never come away from that hardness. So I look at it and I go, you know, Lord, is there any hope? But then I forget, my hope is not in man, my hope's in God. He goes on in verse 8. 37 verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The fretting there is to be worrying, panicking, fearful. And we're not supposed to be that way. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Go way to the right, find Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 in your New Testament. It should be verse 6. I said verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Was that careful? That's one of those words that has two words in it, doesn't it? Careful. We'd say full of care. All right, you're driving, you're supposed to drive carefully, amen? But that's just paying attention. We're not talking about not paying attention. God's saying, don't be full of care. Look what he says. Be careful for how much? You ever see that word nothing? How much should I be worried about? Ooh, you find that easy? No. But the commandment is, be careful for nothing, but replace it. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And the only ways you're ever going to thank God for the situation you're in is if you're trusting God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is very important. We're told not to worry, not to fret, not to be full of care, because it lowers your view of God. I don't have time. I kind of want to review this someday in the future. But did you know when you're worried, you have made God a little lower than He really is? You're kind of like saying, God, you're not doing a very good job. I'll help you. You can't do that. When you worry, and I'm not talking about having a worry, I'm talking about living in worry. It will ruin your health. Worry, living in fear, will ruin your health. You can't handle it. You were made to be able to handle a fright. You're not made to live in fear. All right? It'll ruin your health. If you're constantly panicked about everything that's happening in your life and everything that's coming your way, it'll waste your time. By the way, did you know 90%, I don't know what the percentage is, but most of what we fear happening never happens. And you'll waste hours, weeks, months, you'll waste a lifetime worrying about what's not there. What's not going to happen. Your mind plays tricks on you. You go in, you're getting ready to apply for a job, and you go, they won't take me. You know why? Because you've already feared all the things they'll throw at you and you're already going in there, I know you won't hire me. You're wasting your time. And it'll bring us into bondage. Fear torments. Fear makes you worries actually begin to enslave you. I don't have time for all this. I wish I could just just talk about all these things. But it gives you a full sense of spirituality. Let me just build on this. A lot of people think, well, I have to be worried. What else would I do? if I didn't worry about such, amen, you should be concerned. You should know that there is a need, but you shouldn't worry. Who should be worrying? God. And guess what? He doesn't. Because you'll go around saying, I'm really worried about this, and I'm really burdened about that. Amen. But if you live that way, where everything is always up to you, you're going to crush, you're going to die under the weight of what you weren't meant to live on. You're supposed to, when your kids aren't around, you go, I wonder where they are. I'm concerned, I'm worried. All right, but if you live, you will crush them, if you live in worry for them. A false sense of control, it'll paralyze you. You will not be able to go forward because you're constantly worried about now. Now, they can't close that door, so we'll just have to do our best here. It paralyzes us from being able to follow God and do what God asks us to do because we're constantly fearful about taking the next step. And it'll burn you out. Worry, carefulness, panic. God designed in each one of us a set of adrenal glands. You know what an adrenal gland is? You ever heard of adrenaline? When a guy's heart stops, they put adrenaline. I mean, they get this big long needle, it's about 4 feet long, and they stab it right in the heart and they squirt adrenaline in there in order to give a burst of energy to the heart to hopefully get it started sometimes. Well, you're made to have some adrenaline and to be able to react. I mean, if there's an accident, or if there's an emergency, you jump into the situation and you try to respond with superhuman strength. I have heard of parents doing incredible things because their kid got trapped. I mean, the dad comes up, picked up them, pulled the kid out. He couldn't do that again if he tried. God gives you adrenaline so that you could face an emergency and do something almost superhuman, but you can't live that way. You'll burn out. You're told not to worry for a reason. Because you end up neglecting others. You're focused on some problem instead of on ministry. We're called ministers. We're to serve. But if you're constantly worried about something, this, the devil has you in bondage and you're not good for nobody. Not good English, but it's good truth. And it means certain defeat. When you're living in worry, again, I'm not talking about not having a worry in the world. We all have worries and concerns, but don't live in them. So continuing with background, it is impossible not to worry. Some of you are going, oh, good. Unless you have something to replace it with. Something that's better. I wonder what it would be. Biblical faith. Biblical faith, I want to talk really this morning, it chooses to trust in the Lord. Take your Bible, and I need you to go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Right after the book of Psalms is the book of Proverbs. Biblical faith doesn't feel like trusting the Lord. You just do it. Biblical faith, and I'm not, see, people say, I have faith, but they don't believe anything. Biblical faith chooses to trust in the Lord. You see, faith doesn't trust because we feel like trusting. Faith doesn't trust because we find it easy. Faith doesn't trust God because it makes perfect sense. Not at all. Faith just decides that God is the real deal. And we choose to trust Him over everything else. Look at Proverbs 3 in verse 5. Our Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. That's a choice. I choose. I'm supposed to trust the Lord? I do. Go back to the left, find Psalm 40. I have some scriptures this morning, Psalm 40. Some of these I hope you put a star beside, you put a box around, or you write in a notebook and you come back to them and rehearse them and encourage yourself. Psalm 40 in verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his, what's the word? Trust. And respecteth not the proud, nor is such that turn to lies. Look at the middle of it. It says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. That's my choice. That's my choice. I make the Lord my trust. I could make my life miserable. Amen? But I choose to make the Lord my trust, and I end up blessed. Let's go look at another one. Look at Isaiah now, to the right a bit. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. We will see this scripture again. Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Again, a lot of these truths are stuck right in the middle of the scripture. I need you to take your pencil out, your pen, It's okay to read in your Bible. Look at Isaiah 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. Next part. Look at this best part. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Right in the middle, he says, I'm going to trust and not be afraid. Faith does not have to understand everything. Faith doesn't have a good, warm feeling about it. And a lot of churches are all about feelings today. They try to get you to feel, and we do. I mean, you meet some of the nicest guys. You get your cup of tea. People are very friendly. And that's to sort of get you so you're ready to hear the Word of God. But you see, faith doesn't get activated. You don't have faith because you just feel good. You have faith because you choose to. Because God is the real deal and He's what you need here. Secondly, it lets God work everything out for good. Romans 8:28, if you remember last week, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Faith says, Lord, I know You can do better than I can. Is that true? You better start nodding your head. It is very true. Lord, I'm going to let You handle the ending. Amen. I'm going to let Him work everything out. Biblical faith lets God work everything out, and it's going to be good. If you love God, you just stay in His will. Thirdly, third biblical point of biblical, it digs its heels in and locks your thoughts into one way of thinking, God's way. Go to Psalm 112. Go back to Psalm 112. Psalm 112 in verse 7. Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So why can somebody say, I won't be afraid? Because he's made a choice to anchor, to solidly rest on who? On the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. That was our memory verse this morning. If you need to turn there, turn there. If you can remember it, let's see if we can remember it. Ready? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That, Isaiah 26:3, the reason why we have perfect peace, the reason why we don't have to be afraid, is because our heart is anchored on Him, not on our fear. On Him, not on our problems. On Him, not on the people, not on our enemies, not on our debts, not on our health. Even though those are all very big and important things you may have to face on a day-by-day basis, you can't live there. You have to live there. You have to live on that rock. Because He'll give you perfect peace. And He'll take away all fear. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We read that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Hey, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. What are you doing? You're saying the winds are blowing, the trouble's coming, the ground is shifting, but I'm digging in, I'm not moving, my trust is in Him. Did you know this is how every army prepares for battle? All right, now if I was going to train, you know how I could train you guys to defeat that side? All right, you ready? Drills. Where every day you are drilled with what your mission is. You are prepared. This is what we're going to do. You just don't go in. Guerrilla warfare doesn't really work very well in normal situations. So normal armies take people. You know what they do? They teach them to obey. And when the platoon leader stands up and says, charge! Everybody just goes naturally. They all stand up and says, okay! And they all follow, and they all go in, but there's drilling where that sergeant just says, charge! Stop! Left! Left again! Go back in the hole! And you do that day after day, week after week, and then he says, all right, on your faces, bring your arms, prepare to shoot, put your guns back, and it's a constant drill, and then comes the time. All right, now what's happening on this side? They're watching TV. They're having another cup of tea. Okay? Chewing on grapes. You guys, it's up at 5:30 in the morning. It's having your porridge cold. It's getting up, giving your arm, giving your guns and your ammunition and your grenades and whatever else you gotta have, right? And then comes the day where we go out to the field and somebody starts shooting bullets over your head. And you start finding out how quickly you're scared. And that platoon leader gets over there and says, "Focus on your mission!" And so day after day, you're crawling on the ground and bullets are firing over your head and bombs are blowing up and you're focusing through and your heart is beating and your fear is building up and you want to run that way, but that sergeant won't let you run. And then after months and months and months of practicing, preparing, you go to war. Who do you think's going to win? You loser. This side will. And when those bombs start falling and when the bullets start firing over, it's not that you're not afraid. It's not that you're not terrified and that you, every fiber of your body wants to run and get away from that fight. But you have been prepared. You have been drilled. You have been taught to focus on your mission and to accomplish your mission. And I'm sorry. And the one who has been prepared like that wins, folks. And that's why we have church. That's why we teach the kids memory verses. Why we teach them about real life situations. We don't go la 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 la. It's all fun and nice. No, it's serious. It is a war we're in. And we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. We're supposed to be prepared for a roaring lion who seeks to devour us. And the only way you're ever going to get to where you dig your heels in and you say, "I'm going to stand," is when you learn how to trust just in God. I saw this. This was kind of cute. This is American baseball. And here's this kid, and I was this kid. All right? And you stand up there, and you get up on that base, and you raise that bat up there, and that pitcher is getting ready to throw that ball at about 4 million miles an hour. And look at everybody on the sidelines going, "Phooey, hey batter, you stink, you'll miss it, boo, you swing like my grandma, you're no good, you'll strike out, what a loser." But look at his attention on. He's sitting there listening to one voice. "Now remember, son, keep your eye on the ball, swing hard, and you'll do great." It depends on who you're listening to, whether you're going to hit that ball, whether you're going to actually make it through that trial. You can listen to the crowd, and this, I like this one guy over here, he says, "It's no use, fellas, he only listens to his father." Amen. Amen. I like that. What is biblical faith? I'm listening to what he says, not what you say, not what they say, especially not what he says. Amen. Now, let me correct something here. Some people think, well, when you trust the Lord, that means you just sit back and you let God do everything. Not at all. It's not ignoring your own responsibilities. You still have to do right. You still got to keep your heart right. You still got to stay humble towards God and towards others. You still have to do what you can do. And by the way, you can be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You can be in church. You still have to do what you can do. You can read your Bible every day. "Oh, you don't know the pressure I'm under." Yeah, I do. Nita and I raised 5 kids. I've worked every day of my life since I was 14. I know what it takes. There's some days where, man, you just hit the end of the day and you can't and you haven't read your Bible. But that ought to be rare. It shouldn't be the norm. You can pray for your needs and even for your enemies. You can do that. You can open your mouth and tell somebody how they can be saved from the wrath to come. Amen? You know, trusting God and going, well, if God wants to save them, He can save them. No, He put it in your lap and said, now go tell somebody. You can do it. Don't ignore your responsibilities. You can love your wives, gentlemen. Ladies, you can reverence your husband. You say, I don't know how. God said do it. So you can. You can honor and obey your parents, young people. And you can just stay faithful. You can do it. See, you're not ignoring your responsibilities. But what you're doing is you're deciding to trust God, not for what you can do, trust God for what only He can do. What can He do? He can break the hard-hearted. and make them soft again. He can take ashes and make something beautiful out of them. I can't do anything with ashes, can you? He can take what the devil meant for evil and make it good. God can answer every one of your prayers. All the impossible ones, which are, by the way, all of them. And then get you through the valleys all the way home to heaven. Trusting God is not ignoring your responsibilities. It's letting God do what only He can do. And this is very important. It's not acting like there's nothing to worry about. Go to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 27. Verse 14. Paul is a prisoner on a ship headed towards Rome in the middle of the Mediterranean. Acts 27, verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind, a fierce wind called Euroclydon. When the ship was caught by the wind and the waves and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. This is Luke writing. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. So they're wrapping the ship with ropes and they're holding it together because it's creaking and falling apart. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail and so were driven trying to get away from that island. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. So they're throwing everything overboard. Verse 19. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They're getting rid of all the ropes, all of the pulleys. They're throwing everything overboard because the ship is sinking. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us continually, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Remember, it is lashing raining. It is cold. The wind is driving that ship in every direction. They're all seasick. And everybody's, they've thrown everything overboard. So they're sitting on the floorboards. Paul stands and watch what he says. And he says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Was that, were they in danger? Yes or no? Is Paul aware of the danger? Yes. And now I exhort you to be of... So he says, you know what? It looks like we're going to die. So be of good cheer. Only a Christian can talk that way, okay? And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you be loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, underline these words, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Look, Paul's not getting up there saying, there's no storm outside. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, this ship will ride out the storm. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you guys can swim well. No, what did he say? I believe God. Instead of him focusing on the storm, I mean, they lived in it for 2 weeks. Instead of him focusing on the fact they have nothing. They are in a coffin is what they are. He says, it's going to be okay. Not one of you, not one hair of your head is going to perish because I believe God. Can you tell me which one's better, worry or trust? Which one's better? Now, when you're trusting, it's not that you're ignoring that there is a problem, but you have something that's greater than worry about that problem. Third point. And it's not getting rid of your enemies. It's not getting rid. Paul didn't pray, in the name of Jesus, I command the sea to stay still. Didn't do that, did he? You cannot stop the storms, can you? You cannot stop the earth craving in underneath you. You can't stop the health problems coming at you. You can't stop financial things turning all upside down. You can't stop that. So instead of you saying, Lord, by faith, I ask you to remove this. That's not what God asks us to have. The kind of faith that says, I'm no longer going to worry about this. I may have to focus on it. I may have to work to make up for it. I may have to go to the doctor. I may have to do all kinds of things. But I'm not going to worry.
I'm on the cross.
Now, I like this guy. Dan's got a picture of it in his house. This is a lighthouse. All right? It's down in France, isn't it? It's in a really rough part of the sea. And this lighthouse, every once in a while in the storms, the waves come up, and the waves are between 30 to 50 feet high, smashing into the lighthouse. This guy comes out, and he's standing out there in this wave, and whoever's taking this picture was the right time. But this guy's just standing there, his hands in his pocket, and that wave is... What's he trusting in? The strength of that rock that that lighthouse is built on? Now, I guarantee you, when that wave started coming around, he got back inside. Amen? But what's the point? When you're just trusting the rock, when you trust in the Lord, he's not panicking. Amen? And we can get there too. So, let's talk about this. What happens when you believe God? First point, real quick. I want you to look at your Bible. I want you to take it and go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. The first thing that happens when you believe God is you're better protected. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Hey, one angel in the Bible, one angel was called upon to fight an army of 185,000 Midianites. 185,000. One angel wiped them all out. That was just an angel. How many angels does God have? It says an innumerable company of angels. So I don't know, there's no number I can put on it. But this is not an angel. Guess what it says? The angel. You know who that is? Jesus. He is the person, Lord. And this, it says, guess who camps round about them that fear him and trust in him? He does. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. And if you don't get how strong that hand is, let me tell you this. Jesus goes on and he says, and by the way, no man plucks them out of my Father's hand. So it's a double layer of protection around every Christian who's trusting the Lord. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. What does the Bible say? Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to be encouraged about trusting the Lord, you get it by reading the book you hold in your hand. Proverbs 29 and verse 25 says this, the fear of man will bring a what? But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be. You know, David discovered there's no safety in the size of his army. You know, all he needed was a slingshot. I bet he would have won with a spit wad. How many of you know what a spit wad is? Oh, come on, some of you had to be, Americans know what it is. I'm not even going to explain it. Don't worry about it. There, huh? Right, yeah, now you're Irish. They got their citizenship, and so did the Van der Westhuizens. They joined the ranks of the blessed. All right, but look at what he says again. Well, let me just say, David discovered there's no safety in the size of his army. You're only safe in the protective hand of God. Moses found out that God takes pretty good care of his people. Amen. They're wandering around a desert, and every morning they got up and, what's that stuff on the ground? That's right. What is it? That's it. What? That's what manna meant. What is it? That's what is it? And they ate food, angel food, the Bible says. When they got thirsty, a rock would bring forth water. When they were looking for meat, quail would come flying in just a meter off the ground and they just swat them. Honey, get these in the frying pan. Amen. God will take care of you. Moses learned that. Children of Israel did. A Christian is safer every minute that they choose to just trust God. Better than trusting living in a tank. Amen. You're better protected. He would do well for you to start believing that. Secondly, go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 4. God will get you through your troubles if you'll trust Him. Doesn't say He'll get you out of them. Sometimes He will get you out of them. But more often I've found God intends to get you through them than He does to get you out of them. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You ever notice that word through? You know, David says, I'm not staying. I may find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm walking through it, and God will get you through it. Look at chapter 28 and verse 7. Still in Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. We read this first off. My heart trusted in Him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. But look at those first words now. The Lord is my strength and my... Who's out there to hurt me? The devil. The fiery darts of the devil. I need a shield. You know what the devil's good at? Remembering your sins. The devil's good at provoking you to sin, isn't he? Isn't it nice to have a shield there so he can't get through it? And if the devil ever is allowed to get at you, it's because the Lord said, yeah, I need you to humble him a little bit. But the Lord will always keep him on a leash, amen? You're better protected when you're trusting in the Lord. Look at chapter 37, verse 40. Psalm 37, and verse 40. Psalm 37, verse 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked, there's our enemy, and save them. Why? Because they trust in Him. Simply because they trust. Not because they're worthy. Not because they've got great talents they bring to God, but just simply because they trust Him. Third, you know, when you just believe God, you're a blessed person. Let's go to the next verse. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Who wrote most of the Psalms? David did. You think David figured this out and rejoiced? Go on. I mean, look at how many times it says, they that trust in the Lord, they that trust in the Lord. I think he got this. I think he enjoyed living a life of trusting the Lord. And you are blessed just by trusting Him. Look at Psalm 34 in verse 8 says this, O taste and see. We read it, but I want you to look at something else here. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Wow. Now I know the world offers the concerts. I mean, people are depressed up there. Garth Brooks isn't coming. Oh, they'll fight it. Oh, you know what that is? The world's smallest violin, playing a very sad song. People live for the concerts. They live for the thrills. They live for the drink. They live for the girls. They live for the buzz. They live for the money. And you know what it comes down to? At the end, there's a serpent. At the end, there's sorrow. But you know what faith offers? You know what faith offers? Here, Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see." It's why I'm comparing it to fruit. These are the results. You go to a tree and you pluck that for fruit off and you take a bite and it has, oh, there's so much life in there. There's so much flavor in there. That tree has produced fruit and faith will produce fruit in your life. And if you'll taste, that's just another word for trust, you're a blessed person. Watch. Proverbs, go to the right, go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, hey, and maketh rich. Now be careful that you only think of money when it says riches, by the way. And he addeth no sorrow with it. You ask 99 out of 100 people who won the lottery. 10 years after they won the lottery. How you doing? Miserable. You talk to these kids, these children that grew up in Hollywood. And they got to be on the shows. They got to be Hannah Montana. They got to be, what's that kid's name that was on Home Alone? And all these people. What did Hollywood do for them? They're in bits. They're not even human anymore. They've had sorrow. You know, when the Lord blesses you, He has no sorrow to it. Go to Psalm 84. Go back to the left. Find Psalm 84 and verse 12. Psalm 84. in verse 12. O Lord of hosts. Here's that word again. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him, that diligently seek Him. I just trust You, God. I'm just looking out to see what You want. He rewards, He blesses, honors those who just trust Him. Ephesians 1 now. Go to the right, find Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3. Great scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Aw, I'm sorry. The blessings aren't here. Amen. Now, I got tons of blessings. But you know what? Before I ever got any of those blessings, I got real blessings. And these are just cream on the cake, man. You know, all spiritual blessings include, think about it, eternal life instead of eternity in hell. That's a blessing. How about peace with God? Not just the peace of God. You know what I needed before I got the peace of God? I needed peace with God. That's a blessing. He's not mad at me anymore. Amen? I got a huge family. I got a huge family. I like big families. I don't have too many of them in my house, but I like a huge family. I like family reunions. We got a family reunion this morning, amen? I mean, it's called the household of God. We may not look like much. Don't look around. But the people in this room are a huge spiritual blessing to have around you and your family. I'd much rather have you around than the likes of a lot of people walking down these streets. The kind of stuff that they're in, I'm glad for the family of God. You guys are a spiritual blessing. Amen. Amen. That's what a church is. I got, you know what else? I mean, it's all spiritual blessings. How about a home in heaven with your name on it? I mean, I've been in places. You see, they got a plate on the front of the house that says Shalom, you know? Or somewhere else that says Ard Cullen, and we were down yesterday at a place called Hollywood, you know, and all these places. The houses. My house got my name on it. This is where Craig lives. It's the house that Jesus built, but it's the house where Craig lives. You can find my house anytime you want. You're welcome. Come over. I may be there. I may not. I don't know. Who knows? But I'll be in another house, I mean by that. Folks, listen. The blessings that we have, think about it. If you just are trusting God, you are blessed. You know why? Because you have the presence of the Holy Spirit sealed into your life. He is a comfort of all comfort. You're blessed. It all happened in an instant, the very moment you believed God's Son. The moment you just trusted that He was all you needed. You said, God, I'm fed up with trusting the church. Trusting Mary. Trusting the priest. I'm trusting You now. And I'm trusting only You. All of a sudden, God says, that's a blessed man. Let's make sure he's blessed all the way. Four. You know, when you just believe God, you're healthier. Many people think they believe God, but their face shows otherwise. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 21. Psalm 33:21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. What does rejoice mean? Be happy. Be excited. My heart will shout. Because I trust in God. Did you come in carrying a lot of burdens this morning? Amen. That's normal. That's natural. But if you still got them, that's unspiritual. It's not right. You see, when you start trusting the Lord, when you start taking that book seriously and you start saying, God, You wrote this book, I better start believing it. When you start taking it seriously, all of a sudden, whew, your heart gets lighter. And you get a smile on your face. You go, haha, this is as bad as it gets. You know, there are two kinds of people in this room. You ready? I should say there are Texans and those that wish they were, but that's not what I'm going to say. There are two kinds of people in this room, all right? There are those who are going through hell on earth. But this is as close as you'll ever get. This is as bad as it is. There are those of you who are blessed beyond measure in physical things, material things, but that's as close as you'll ever get. One is going to a place indescribably joyous. The other one going to a place that is indescribably tormentous. I know which one I'm going to. I know which one I'm looking forward to, folks. And you know what? Just because this stinking sinner who's saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, living just by faith, I can stand up and I can say in the midst of my troubles, I'm happy. Paul stood before a king one day in chains, tattered robe, hadn't taken a bath in probably 3 months, and standing up there and King Agrippa looking down on him saying, Paul, you got anything to say for him yourself? And he says, I'm glad to. I am happy to be here this morning. Only a Christian can talk like that, folks. You're healthier when you trust in the Lord. So, Proverbs 16. You wake up in the morning and you've been chewing on nails all night. We can tell. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. But here's the best part. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Hey, how's your happiness? How's your joy level? How do you fix that? Oh, I know. Chocolate. You heard about the husband who was writing down. And he says, when your wife is really upset, and had a bad day, try and hug her. If she growls, throw chocolate at her. Chocolate is only a temporary fix. Trust in the Lord, and it'll lift your heart, man. I tell you what, most of our problems are heart problems, health included. The devil's laughed all throughout history. I'm sick and tired of the devil laughing at us. Laughing, going, look how easy those Christians are to trip up. Look how Leah... Look at them fall. I don't even have to sneeze and they're all over the carpet. I'm sick and tired of him laughing because we are so weak. You know what our strength is? Him. And we've got to get back to just trusting in him and letting the devil go, rah. I like to laugh every once in a while, amen? I like to laugh. Just believe in God in the midst of your storm will win every time. Listen to this. Whatsoever is born of God, and I'm born of God, I got born again 34 years ago. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You're healthier, folks. You also get answers to prayer. Go back to Psalm 37. Oh, didn't I say? Oh, I haven't got there. I was mixing my verses. Let me just read a couple of things about the healthy. I just quoted on my laugh a lot. I like that part, but every time you give in to temptation, to worry, and to panic, you allow the devil to drain you and hurt you. But every time you decide to trust in the Lord with all your heart, you allow the Lord to strengthen and help you. A lot of people are looking for help from a bottle, from pills, they look for help from their friends, but Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Psalm 42 verse 11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the health of my countenance and my God. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, my son, attend unto my words. Listen to me. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You're a whole lot healthier. I preached the other thing in reverse. Sorry about that. But then there's this point here. You get answers to prayer. Psalm 37. When you just trust the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be What can you say? Verily, God will take care of you. He'll feed you. He'll get you that job. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. There are many things that stop us from getting answers to prayer. Think about it. What stops me from getting answers to prayer? Well, sin in my heart. That gets me in trouble every time. Unforgiveness towards people around you have hurt you. God says, I'm not going to listen to you if you cannot humble yourself and forgive so-and-so. Another thing that stops us from getting answered prayer is spiritual warfare. The devil will hinder you. But the one thing that should be ever active in the life of the Christian, no matter what's going on, is your faith in God. Believing that God can do for us what we ask of Him. No doubting, no wavering. Those who live a life of trust and faith usually get what they need from God. You go to God like this, God, where have you been? Your kids come in and say, Mom, where have you been? How much does Mom want to feed them? Mom, didn't you hear me calling outside? No, I was a little busy. I mean, how you talk to God reveals how willing you are to trust Him. You know, you come to God and you say, Lord, I'm just desperate for You. I've made time, and I'm not waiting until the last minute, by the way. I'm trusting in You. The Lord says, let's make sure He gets taken care of. You'll get your answers to prayer. Look at Mark 11. Go to the right, find Mark. Chapter 11. In verse 24. Now, if this was the only verse in the Bible about prayer, it really confuses us because we wouldn't understand that there are conditions on prayer. But this is where it begins. If you come to God praying without faith, you're wasting your time. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, the next verse says, but if you don't forgive, I'm not going to hear you, I'm not going to forgive you, so on and so forth. But that first foundational verse that says, when you ask, would you trust me? Would you believe that I can do what you're asking? And people who trust in the Lord usually get more answers to prayer than those who are grumbling, griping, complaining, and moaning, and not trusting. The last thing that happens when you believe God, you experience that perfect peace that we read about in our memory verse. Can we go back to that and look at two scriptures in Isaiah? First, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, and we're done. You experience perfect peace. Isaiah 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Chapter 26, still in Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3. I hope this month this verse becomes precious to you. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou, speaking to God, will keep him, that's you, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You can't get any better than this. If you're full of anger, if you're full of bitterness, if you have a hard heart towards doing things right, I got news for you. You're not trusting the Lord. Can a Christian get bitter? Yes. Can a Christian get hard? Yes. Can a Christian fall away? Yes. Doesn't that scare you? Take a moment now and repent of unbelief. Say, Lord, you know what my problem is? My problem is not him, her, it. The problem is my unbelief. I'm not trusting you. I don't allow you to be God. I actually have the audacity to think you're not doing a very good job, God. And I'm sorry. Oh, that I would trust in you. Look at what it'll do for you. It puts you, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You trust in the name of the Lord. You get through your troubles. You're a blessed person. You may not have two pennies to rub through between your fingers, but people look at you and go, that must be a blessed name. I read about a family that was going through some real hard times. The husband had left, and so the mom was raising four kids. And they're living in a caravan. They're attending a small little church, and they're kind of new in the area, trying out this church, and it's Christmas. And everybody noticed, you know, they were all wearing hand-me-downs, and the bottoms of the shoes kind of had some holes in it. It was Christmas. And so everybody talked about, we're going to take care of the poor in our community. Let's pick up an offering, and we're going to go buy some groceries, give it to the poor. So these kids, and this mom, looked everywhere, gathered up whatever money they could, went out, did some odd jobs, made some money, and put it in the offering there. And at the end of the day, they collected 100 euros. It was $100, but I'll just use euros. Amongst the month, it was just sacrifice for them to give that much, put it in the offering plate. The pastor announced, and they counted up and says, we got $120 today in our offering. Small little church, but still. And they went, okay. So they looked at each other. They knew 100 of it was there. So they went home. When they got home, a couple hours later, the pastor knocks at the door and he hands them an envelope. He says, this is for you. And I'm like, thank you. And they said, Merry Christmas. One of the way, open it up at $120 in. They felt so low. They felt like, so we're poor. We're the poor. So we went back to church the next week. It was the week after Christmas. Kind of discouraged. And still got that envelope with $120 in there. And they had a missionary in that night. That morning. And he spoke and he poured his heart out. And he preached about people being lost in another faraway country. And that family sitting there. And he said, and the pastor got up there and says, I don't know how we could ever help you, brother, to support you. But we're going to take up an offering. Well, they pulled that envelope out, put it in there. And when it came down, you know, Americans, they take up an offering and everything. And pulled through all that, and the pastor handed all that money to the missionary, and he says, well, praise the Lord, we got $140 today for the missionary. The missionary got up and he says, that's one of the best offerings I've had in a long time. You all are a rich church. That family looked at him and says, we're not poor. We're rich. We're rich. I tell you, when you start seeing yourself not by how other people are treating you and not how other people see you, but you start seeing yourself as who God has made you and how He has blessed you, how He came down to this sin-cursed earth and died in your stinking place, you're a blessed person. Now, you're not if you don't trust Him. You'll miss every one of these things. You'll have no joy. The only laugh you'll ever have is when you're in a filthy place talking about filthy things. You'll never know perfect peace unless you're in comatose because of some drugs you've taken. Let me tell you, that comes by trusting the Lord. That comes by the kind of walk of faith that we're trying to do this year. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have. Wouldn't you say that previous list was a pretty good life to have? Come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Biblical faith, three things. What is it? You choose to trust in the Lord. You know what saved me? I got down on my knees and I realized, Lord, I'm going to... this friend of mine named John Cranford, he said, you see that book there, Craig? I was looking across the kitchen table at him. He said, you're going to have to choose to just trust what God said over what you think. You're going to trust that He gave Himself for you and nothing you do is going to be good enough to get you into heaven. What He did is all you need. You get to trust that this book tells you what is right, and if it's right, you can believe it. I said, I believe it. He said, well, then ask Him to save you right now. I got off the table, on my knees, right to the kitchen table. He didn't have to tell me nothing. I just said, God, have mercy on me. God, I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. And I just know that Jesus, according to that book that He just showed me, according to that Bible, You loved me. And You gave Yourself for a sinner like me. And I trust that that's all I will ever need. I ask You now to save me. And I got up and I said, I think it worked. And I've never doubted it since. And ever since then, every trouble I get into, every storm I get into, my challenge is, oh, I don't do a very good job of it all the time, but I get a challenge whether I'm going to trust in the Lord or I'm going to quit, give out, give up, complain, get frustrated. I make the choice. I want to choose to trust in the Lord. And I got to choose to let Him work everything out for good You think you can do a good job? Then you start living like you will. You dig your heel in and lock your thoughts. That's anchoring your mind. That's staying on Him and thinking His way. Most of us, we come to a wall and we say, I don't know how to go any farther. And we get stuck. You need somebody who can see over the wall. Who can tell you, back up, and there's an alleyway over this way you get through. Amen? Trust the Lord will show you the way through. Folks, you can't get better than this. There's no better way to live. If you're full of anger, check your heart right now. Is it full of bitterness? Do you have a hard heart towards doing right? Then you're not trusting the Lord with all your heart. You're not believing God and showing in all those wrong ways. See, what we do is we say, I'm believing God for a new car. That's stupid. I believe in God for a wife. That's smart. Because only God will give you one. Amen. But at the end of the day, you got to step back, whether He does or He doesn't. I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to just believe whatever He promises. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say He promises to give us everything we want. But He's already given us everything we need. I hope you've got everything He's given. Take a good look at your faith. If He's not in the center of it, then you need to start deciding, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Let's stand this bound prayer.